I have no relationships, financial or otherwise, with the tobacco industry or its allies or its front groups. I'm going to be talking about harm-reduced products, harm-reduced tobacco products, and I put that in quotes for reasons that will become obvious very shortly, and the notion of consumer sovereignty, the notion that the consumer is king in the tobacco products market. There's my disclosure. Mark did an excellent job of describing the modern-day kind of harm reduction products that are out there on the market. You can think of harm-reduced products as kind of a long continuum, starting with, as Adrian said, the first filtered cigarettes, but I'm going to be focusing on these kind of more modern, highly technologically engineered products, and specifically for the interest of time, I'm going to be talking about R.J. Reynolds' Eclipse and kind of by association Premier, which was kind of the big sister of Eclipse. The questions that I had were, what is the tobacco industry's interest in these ostensibly harm-reduced products? What do industry leaders say publicly in their advertising and in their marketing materials and in press releases and in public relations about why they're making these products? What do they say privately amongst themselves just within the companies? And are there discrepancies between the public statements and the private statements that tobacco industry executives make about these products? And obviously, what's in the best interest of the consumers and of public health? My methods for researching these questions are identical to the methods that Adrian described. I analyzed the previously secret tobacco industry documents with using search terms such as harm reduction and safer and news article and so on and so forth to get not only what executives were saying in internal memos, but also what they were saying in press releases and so on. And I also looked at advertisements that you can find on the web at these URLs and product websites. Right, so Eclipse, when it was first marketed, looked a bit like this. Here's an early example from, I think, the mid-90s. And the claims that were made in advertisements about this product, here it is. It's got the little heat element here that supposedly heats this roll of tobacco and emits a vapor that the smoker then inhales. It's got a heat barrier wrapped around it so it doesn't burn down. And what they said about this product was that the smoke chemistry was simplified. Rather than mostly tar and nicotine in the smoke itself, smokers were inhaling mostly water and glycerin. It has almost no secondhand smoke, and there are some cosmetic supposed benefits to using this product. It won't stain your teeth or your fingers or your clothes, no lingering smoke odors, no burning, no ashes, etc. Okay, well, in 1995, what Reynolds said publicly, here's a press release about Eclipse in 1995, that they were responding to social concerns of consumers. Our customers have told us for many years that they want a new kind of cigarette that allows them to enjoy smoking without many of the social pressures that they feel in today's society. So the consumers are asking for it, and we're working to give it to them. And a year later, in the spring of 96, in this journalist briefing, Reynolds said that, with respect to Premier, we had to pull it from the market because anti-smoking activists, public health officials, and government researchers wanted to deny adult smokers the option of choosing a cigarette like Premier. People were clamoring for it, and we tried to give it to them, but the nannies wouldn't let us. By 2000, in this newspaper article from the Burlington Free Press in Virginia, Reynolds was much more confident about making direct health claims. We have full scientific substantiation, they say, to all the claims we make about Eclipse. And yet they're still hedging a little bit. Eclipse may present less of a risk of certain, but not all, smoking-related diseases. And Consumers have a right to know what we know from this vast body of scientific evidence that we have generated on the health effects of this product. We, as responsible corporate citizens, have the obligation to let consumers know what we know about this marvelous, miraculous new product. And the website, this is a screen grab from 2006, actually, this website, eclipse.rjrt.com, was taken down in the summer of this year and collapsed across a website with a few other Reynolds products. Even just a couple of years ago, this is the kind of stuff that Reynolds was presenting to people that would peruse the site. There's this smoke chemistry pie chart, and this is an important element for the marketing of Eclipse. This is something that has been with the marketing of Eclipse throughout. And what it shows is, here's smoke from regular cigarettes, all this gray, yucky stuff. This is tar and nicotine. But here's smoke from Eclipse, where there's not very much of that gray, yucky stuff. Here, it's mostly just water, this lovely, clear, blue stuff. And here's the leading cigarette. Here's Eclipse. It looks cleaner because it is cleaner. And they made very explicit health claims on the website about this product. Less risk of cancer. The toxicity of the smoke is dramatically reduced, supposedly because of this smoke chemistry simplification. Less lung inflammation, less cell mutagenicity. Well, they justified those claims by inviting in this group of a scientific review board, a scientific advisory board, to come in and analyze the body of research that Reynolds had conducted in-house on, in this case in 1998, on Premier, and in this case in 2000 on Eclipse. And Reynolds claimed that these scientific advisory boards were comprised of eminent independent scientists, prominent doctors and scientists, people who were not part of Reynolds and just came in to analyze objectively the work that Reynolds scientists had conducted. But when you look into it, of the 29 people that were involved in the review of Reynolds scientific work, and either one or both of these reports, 21 of those independent advisors had clear financial ties to the tobacco industry. Now, let's roll back the clock a bit to 1991 to find out what Reynolds was saying internally, what the execs were saying to each other throughout all of this process. Here is David Doolittle from the scientific research branch of Reynolds talking to Jim Johnston, the CEO of the company at the time, about the strategic plan for the company through the 90s. And Doolittle is saying, well, the strategic plan should include a strategy specifically aimed at stabilizing or reversing the market decline. And one can only imagine the market share we would get if our products were uniquely perceived by the consumer as being less hazardous. RJRT has to show that we have an aggressive long-term plan to reverse the decline in smoking. We develop products which minimize the concerns of consumers regarding the health hazards of smoking. Now, notice here that he's saying not that, imagine what would happen if our products were uniquely less hazardous and we could develop products which reduce the hazards of smoking. No, he's saying, imagine what would happen if our products were perceived by the consumer to be less hazardous and develop products which minimize the consumer's concerns, not necessarily the hazards of smoking. Okay, well, so how do they go about doing that? Here's a note from 1992 in which they're brainstorming that, well, what we need to do is go to the House and the Senate, we need to go to the U.S. Congress, and approach members of the U.S. Congress about the concept of this new technology, this wonderful technologically advanced product, Eclipse, and get them on board. And it would be ideal, it would be optimal to have scientists just out in the universities generating publications and talking about this before we even go in to talk to the Congress. Because state regulatory bodies should be expected to make challenges to the product. So the scientific community needs to endorse it and be willing to do so publicly. There needs to be a demand for the product. Odd when publicly they said that there already was a demand for the product. And we do that by seeding the biomedical community. We invite them to workshops, meetings, we show them publications and presentations, and we get them talking about Eclipse. Well, what kind of workshops and meetings and presentations? Something like this one in 1996 that took place on the Duke University campus. What you're looking at is a contract between Reynolds and Duke University in which Reynolds is making a gift of $20,000 for the purpose of Duke to hold a conference specifically for the purpose of talking about Eclipse. See, it's an unrestricted gift. That's the new buzzword. That's how we get scientists to do our talking for us. And this had the desired effect for Reynolds. Here's when John Slade, on behalf of ASH, petitioned the FDA to in 1996 to regulate Eclipse, this is Reynolds' reply. There's no language suggesting an association, suggestive of an associated reduction of risk in our marketing materials. Dr. Slade is coming to that conclusion on his own. However, as expressed at the Duke conference by independent scientists who were given $20,000 to talk about this, this simplification of smoke had the potential to reduce risk. Okay, meanwhile, Reynolds' marketing arm is conducting research in test groups where they call people in, give them some information about the product, let them try the product, and here's this pie chart again, this smoke composition pie chart that shows the 80% water and glycerin in Eclipse. This is a screen grab from one such test group where they were shown the product and they were shown this pie chart, and now they're considering what this pie chart means. And one person says, about 90%, I mean, what percent would you say less harmful than... Another person jumps in. Does it harm your lungs? Third person says, no, it says 80% right over there. So clearly people are looking at this smoke chemistry pie chart and interpreting it as a health claim. Now that non-committal kind of vague language that Reynolds latched onto and continued to repeat through years of marketing served them well. Here's a script that Reynolds representatives are given when they're going to go and face the press. Here's a question that the press might throw out at the Reynolds representative. What do you say may present less risk of cancer? Well, the pat answer, is that, well, this is a difficult question to answer because there really are no scientific standards on, you know, what constitutes a safer cigarette. But an outside panel of experts tell us that our results are reasonable and that Eclipse may present less risk. There it is again. Okay, well, Anthony Pratt Canis in the psychology department of UC Santa Cruz just a couple of years ago did some research on what consumers think about that kind of non-committal vague language, may present less risk, etc. And he found that consumers perceive that Reynolds is in fact making health claims as for Eclipse as a safer cigarette, that there's no evidence that the qualifiers are mitigating or moderating that belief, and that when consumers, when research participants were asked to describe Eclipse, they described it in unqualified terms, that it does present less risk, not that it may present less risk. Now, the real tragedy about all of this is that truly independent tests that are conducted by scientists that don't have ties with R.J. Reynolds show that Eclipse is certainly no better than, and in a lot of ways worse than, traditional light cigarette products that are already on the market. These bars represent yields of, in this case, NNK, and in this case, benzoate pyrene. When people smoke the products and when machines smoke the products. And here are two kind of leading low-tar brands compared with Eclipse. And this shows pretty clearly that Eclipse is not doing anybody any favors. All right, well, what the marketing and PR achieved was to provide vague scientific-sounding information that consumers easily misinterpret as health claims, as claims of reduced risk, and shielding tobacco companies against legal attention over health claims by getting the academics to make the health claims for them. Now, harm-reduced tobacco products versus the public interest, I think that this is a fair comparison or a fair contrast. The goal for the tobacco company is to reverse the health-motivated decline in the cigarette market. This contradicts the industry claims that the consumers are demanding it and that's why they're making it. And it points to the deceptive nature of the marketing for the products that's currently going on. Ostensibly harm-reduced tobacco products serve the economic and legal interests of the tobacco companies that are making them rather than the health interests of the consumers. Oh, I guess that's it. Any questions? Thanks. Yes. No, you can still get it. You can get it through the website. I'm not certain if you can just walk into a store and get it. I know there were specified test cities where you could walk in and get it. I don't know if that's the case anymore, but you can still get it online. I can't answer that question. It is interesting that the decision this summer to remove the Eclipse website was one that reflected kind of a demotion of Eclipse's status within the company, because now it shares web space with three other brands that aren't really of great commercial importance for Reynolds. Absolutely. I think Adrian has given us very good reason to think exactly that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting that Reynolds engaged in this massive kind of consumer training effort at last year's APHA. I did a presentation on this where Reynolds did these big productions. They called them sneak previews or discovery groups, where they invited people in and gave them instruction on how to use this product and kind of got them all fired up and got them to say, hey, this is great, and I'm going to go and tell all my friends. Yes. Yeah, very good point. I mean, it's clear that these companies are very interested in getting the regulators on their side. Absolutely. One more? Yogi. Oh, now is another ultra-low tar cigarette, and just box distinguishes it from the soft pack. What this graph is showing, this was conducted by an independent laboratory called LabStat in 2000 at the request of the Massachusetts Department of Health. And what it's showing us is that yields of things like benzoylpyrene and NNK are actually higher when machines and people both smoke Eclipse than the yields from Carlton and from now. Yeah. So claims that, you know, this is the simplified smoke chemistry means that you're getting less of the harmless stuff don't pan out. Okay. Thanks very much.